JG 1. Number 13A.
What I want to do, I'll just go on now quickly myself and just mention what I saw in the chapters as a main point. And again, we know that we don't want to be thrown the fishes, but we want to be taught how to fish. And so all that we're interested in here was the method. And the method certainly then is how we can see that Mrs. Eddy then defines a term such as idea or man or the Christ always structurally as a symphonic structure, as a pattern. So whatever we could do, we could take even the opposite, evil, and we could go through the textbook and see how she defined evil in every chapter. Or how she goes through and defines man in every chapter, or Christ in every chapter. Any concept we could go through, because every concept she gives a structural definition. Well, I just chose idea because it's so important to understanding this ideational universe as opposed to the holographic universe today. And I felt this was very important for us to see, as you can see, that the brain and the holographic universe is such a big study today. I felt, we just got to grasp what it means that the universe is idea. It's an idea in mind and of mind, and that it has nothing to do with this holographic business. When everybody comes up and says to us, oh, well, that's Christian Science. And they do it. And they're going to put these books in front of us of holograms and say, this is it. We say, no, that's just brain's projection. So already we are beginning to build up what it means to have an ideational universe and what it means in practice by how she defines it in the textbook. I just felt that was so important of an exercise for us to do. Now, let's see, we got up to practice when I went on to teaching Christian Science. You can just write down what I saw and then verify it at home. But I felt that it brought out that the divine idea now is perfect, has no single element of error, and is clad in white garments, huh? That whole sense really of scientific obstetrics in the teaching chapter, a chapter where she shows then that idea is perfect. It has not a single element of error, doesn't she, in that chapter? And that it's clad in white garments. And then in recapitulation, which recapitulates the whole view of the textbook, the teaching chapter has a sense of the Christian Science level. Therefore, the idea is perfect. It hasn't a single element of error. It's clad in white garment. Recap has a sense of absolute Christian Science at the point of science as to Christ. Here I felt it was the sense of the relationship and unity of principle and idea. It's a science chapter at the point of the Christ that we get now the relation and unity of principle and idea. Here we get that sense, really, that principle and idea is one. Principle is not in the idea. That mind is understood through the idea. The relationship and principle and idea is indestructible, inseparable. Man is a compound, inseparable, cannot be destroyed idea. But it's much more the relationship and unity of principle and idea, and that is that point, that principle and idea is one. So in the teaching, that idea is perfect, it's clad in white garments, and in recap, that principle and idea is one. In Genesis part one, I felt that the idea unfolds infinitely. It's the science is the Christianity tone. Gosh. And then the second point was material sense would destroy the idea. But point three, the idea cannot be destroyed. In that chapter, she has that wonderful tone, I think, where she shows that creation or idea is the emanation of the infinite self-containment. Because that chapter has the accentuation on divine science. And therefore I felt that that whole point there is that idea is the infinite unfoldment, the infinite emanation of the infinite self-containment of God. That's true Genesis. That's true, it's true Genesis. That which comes forth is always from the infinite self-containment of God comes forth the idea. And it unfolds infinitely. Point two, material sense would love to destroy that idea. But point three, it can't. And in the apocalypse, that has the tone of science as a Christian Science, but under the sense of science itself. It says to recognize the unity of principle and idea in the human and the divine, and that's what you were after, Chris, that there was some sense of a unity between it, and also it comes out in Footsteps of Truth, that the divinity of humanity and the humanity of divinity, but idea in there had, in Footsteps of Truth, that we had to see through the belief to behold the idea. But in relationship idea, I feel that came out in the apocalypse, to recognize the unity of principle and idea in the human and in the divine, and that comes out through the levels, that that there's a unity of principle and idea in the human because principle comes to its idea in the levels, huh? And it translates out all that isn't like the idea backing to principle. That's the message of the model of being. And that comes out here. So if we, and another point that comes out here is how the idea always is running up and down the scale. It has a wonderful sense how that idea just has a lot of fun on those levels, huh? It transports itself up and down the levels. It shows the working of the idea, how it goes up and down the levels. And it also brings out the sense of the unity of principle and idea. It says that the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven in man. It brings out the higher visible idea, bringing harmony to earth. Matter is just made under her feet. The idea is clad with spirit truth, is crowned with 12 stars. It shows the working of the idea dimensionally on the levels. It shows the impersonation of the spiritual idea, that that idea is going to rule all nations and peoples, that it baptizes with fire. The idea rises to the zenith of demonstration, is to be found in its divine principle, and guides all right desires. So it's a recognition that principle and idea we have seen as one, and then that's one in the human and the divine, and that the idea then transports itself up and down the levels until finally it rises to the point of the zenith of demonstration, which is the idea then is the divine infinite calculus, and ye are the divine infinite calculus. That idea proves itself as being the divine infinite calculus in operation. That's the zenith of its demonstration. So, idea reaches the vision of St. John in seeing that it's a dimensional idea, and that's its main goal. So one last flow through just before we leave. Then just for practice, we were the scientists. We rolled up our sleeves. We sharpened our pencil, and we got to work in the textbook. And we went through all these references in order to gain the exact letter. And now we sit back and enjoy the spirit and get the tonality of it. And we say, gee, how does Mrs. Eddy define idea in the textbook? And we say, gosh, I've seen that in Atonement and Eucharist, as we've seen together, that all we have to do is to atone ourselves and to get the true idea of God, the universe, man. And that that true idea of God, in fact, God and his idea is the only reality. Christian Science versus Spiritualism. And God and his ideas always operating as the maximum of good. Animal magnetism unmasked to believe that there's anything going on, but that Christ's idea operating for the maximum of good is God in its idea. And we unmask the belief that there's any other power at work. There's any other influence at work besides God and its idea, which is for the maximum of good. Science, theology, and medicine says, and anyhow, all that matters is principle in its idea. And that principle is coming and retranslating out anything, everything that isn't like principle in its idea. And physiology, you can't serve two masters. Therefore, only God brings forth the idea. The brain can never bring forth the idea. Matter can never give birth to the idea. Only God does. To the true idea man. Matter, mortals, can never give birth to the true idea man, that man is the son of God. So only God brings forth man as creation, huh? And footsteps of truth, to see through these beliefs, to behold the idea. If we do that, then in creation, we behold the ideational universe. And that ideational universe is infinite. Not confined, rising higher and higher from a boundless spaces. And that is of the form of God. And in the science of being, that idea is always in God. And therefore, the idea is in God, and the idea is the true idea of God. Now we are, that man is the true idea of God. And some objections answered, and that true idea is one with the principle in order that that idea is a holistic idea. It's a full reflection. Christianity is Christianity, showing that that idea is a whole greater than the sum of its parts. Really, that holistic concept. When you touch a part, you touch the whole. Every idea is a part of the whole. You can't divide it. That sense of idea in some objections answered is just, it's in an infinite reflection where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts and it cannot be divided. And there's an objection to wanting to divide that holistic idea, as Sandy showed. And then in Christian Science practices, now you entertain in consciousness all that has gone before, that chapter says. To be a real practitioner, you accept all that has gone before as idea, as the truth about idea. That's practice. Everything we've seen about idea in Atonement and Eucharist and Christian Science versus Spiritualism, Animal Magnetism, Science, Theology, and Medicine, all those chapters go that have gone before. Now you accept that. That's practice. Go over it. Entertain it. Love it. Physician, heal thyself. Identify yourself with all that has gone on. Physician, identify yourself with that as idea. And if you identify yourself as that idea, then that heals. That's practice. Teaching Christian Science. And that idea which we accept in practice of all that has gone before, that is perfect. It hasn't a single element of error. That practice is perfect. Because it's based on a perfect idea that hasn't a single element of error. It's clad in white garments. And in recap, principle in its idea is one. And this one now is principle. You can't separate it any longer. And therefore, in Genesis, that this idea is the emanation of the infinite self-containment of God. And material sense wants to destroy it, but it can't destroy it. And therefore, because it can't destroy it in the apocalypse, it's free to master the infinite idea. It's free to deport. And she has a wonderful way of saying in there how that idea can just move about on those levels just freely. you have a sense that just has a good time within the realm of being. It just, through the ascending and descending way, finally arrives at the zenith of demonstration, where that idea is the pattern of God, where that idea is the seven synonymous terms operating as the fourfold calculus on the different levels of consciousness, that idea is the model of being in operation, and that's what Jesus was. He was that idea of God. He was he rose to the highest point of demonstration, where he accepted he was that divine infinite calculus, that divine idea in operation. And then the textbook closes, and the model of being takes over as the textbook, and it now shows the inner laws behind that idea as being a divine infinite calculus. Isn't it wonderful? Can we see how idea has a higher meaning in the apocalypse than it did in Atonement Eucharist? Atonement Eucharist says, you seek that true idea in the apocalypse. You have to seek it through all the chapters in practice. But when you seek it, you put off the old man, the old consciousness, and you put on the new consciousness, and ye are that idea in operation. It's wonderful, isn't it? It's just great. What an adventure. Okay. Yes, so this morning we will take that subject of the tonality of the levels. And what I know, and I certainly appreciate within our consciousness, this infinite patience that is required in this reasoning from premise to conclusion. It's even hard for myself when I see the end from the beginning. When one sees that optimum solution that we're after, how it requires such a tremendous amount of patience to go the order of spirit. We know that the ultimate goal always seems to break in at the tone between truth and love. And especially in a subject like this, it takes a lot of groundwork, a lot of fundamental basic work before one finally begins to roll into the subject, until finally the subject breaks into its bigness. I will say the bigness of the subject we will begin seeing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, when we start work getting into the Christ vertical, Christianity vertical, especially that science vertical. What we have to do is to build a groundwork, always the basis. That's what I have learned in my introductory classes I've given over the years. And also in my career as an artist, I was about 11 years teaching in a professional art school in Seattle, and was a professional artist myself for many years. But in teaching, what I found out was if one doesn't have the fundamentals, one is always at sea, and one thinks we know what those are. All right, we'll just stop briefly there just to let the lawnmowers go by. And I want to say want to pick up the theme of what I was saying, is that in an evolutionary process like a class, a build-up, the foundation is very, very important. Then the subject goes very quickly. And especially for a subject of this magnitude, when we get into the laws of interdependence, that's the cream, the icing on the cake. That's the good part, the yummy, yummy good things. This is the foundation that has to be set in order to understand what in the world we're talking about when we're talking about those laws of interdependence. And as I said, as an artist, I always knew that the young students came in, they wanted to do abstract expressionistic art right away, without learning the fundamentals or going over and over the fundamentals of drawing, and learning the basic anatomy of drawing, and then learning, once drawing the whole anatomy, what to abstract out of that anatomy, which was important. To abstract means to take the essentials out. Well, if they didn't go through the fundamentals and really could draw the whole figure, let's say, well, then how would they ever know what was essential in that figure to abstract it out in order to make a Modigliani or a Picasso or some wonderful statement with just a few brushstrokes? So the laws of interrelationship are the few brushstrokes. They're the abstraction. But we have to have this terrific foundation in order to know what to take out of this foundation to abstract. Or at least when we work with the abstract, we will know that it's an abstract of something. And so this has taught me over the years, regardless of whether we sometimes feel a bit impatient and want to get on, I don't do it. I know and I've learned to build the foundation, and when one builds it well, we reap great rewards. So, therefore, this today is one of those foundational building subjects, that of the tonality of the levels. I even feel it's more important often than the laws of integration themselves, because it really shows the subject. It shows why on the level of science itself we have principle, why in the word of divine science there's life, why in the word of absolute Christian science there's life, truth, and love, why in the word of Christian science there's mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, why life, truth, and love impels the word order, why in the Christ there's truth, why on absolute Christian science truth, life, and love, why truth, life, and love impels that principle, life, truth, love, soul, spirit, mind, etc., etc. This gives the reason why. So if we don't have this subject this morning, we might as well just forget the rest of the week. So this is why I want to take these 2 hours to really slowly understand what we have in the study aid, starting on page 60. In the study aid for the science of Christian science by Kappeler, it would be 60 and 61. Tremendous subject. Now, we know now these are the tones of the levels, and I'm building slowly up to all this. We know that these are the tones of the levels from the model of being itself. Now that model of being has and deals with this, the question of dimensionalism. Dimensionalism is a very, very important point that we say, well, we understand it, well, fine, but let's talk about it. Dimensions, Max toyed around with the concept, shall I call it dimensions? Or levels. He says, I really didn't quite know. He says, if he felt like levels, and at other times he says, I should have called it dimensions. And now I think he's happy with levels. But what we know is that we have here levels. Now these levels at one point in our study can be looked as a hierarchical structure. That means that there are higher levels and lower levels. And we even see in Paul Davies' book on a cosmic blueprint that the physicists today work with lower level laws and higher level laws. And then he in there talks about all the implications that are involved in questions that are involved and theories that are involved when one works with what they call the higher level and lower level laws that they see going on within being. So we also talk then about higher levels. So it's nice we have the word levels, because that's what they're using too, lower levels, higher levels. So let's see what this means. First of all, we will look at it as a hierarchical structure where we will take the level of science itself as quote-unquote the higher level. And then the next level, divine science, and the next level, absolute Christian science, and the next level, Christian science. As we go on and begin to work with the laws of being itself, those laws stop becoming really in our consciousness a hierarchical pyramid structure from the higher to the lower. That's only when we have an ascending and descending consciousness, where the angels are ascending and descending, but we know that the Son of Man descends and ascends no more. He stays in heaven. There'll be no more ascending and descending once all error is resolved. The Christian Science level, which is here for science to handle the human problem, once all error is dissolved within consciousness, and it will be and must be dissolved through the Christ translation and retranslation, then once there is no error, there is no need for the Christian Science level, absolute Christian Science, or divine science level. Consciousness just goes out from the level of science itself. It's where Mrs. Eddy said, instead of the astronomer always looking up to the stars, he looks out from the stars, out from that level of consciousness of science itself. I don't think many of us can claim that standpoint exclusively at the moment. If any of us are struggling with any sense of spiritualism or the belief of reversal in anything that we do, and we give that power either to influence us for good or evil, then we need the divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science levels. But once we, she says that the astronomer doesn't look up anymore, or a mariner, I'm not quite sure, I think it was astronomer, he looks out from the stars, then we see the levels as a nested hierarchy. They're a sphere. Christian science hooks up again with science itself, and it becomes a sphere. There's no more the hierarchical ascending and descending in consciousness. But that sphere becomes a spiral. And they see that today in the work with self-propagating, self-organizing systems. That when we have a sphere, and we'll see that today when we talk about the level of science itself and that law of infinity, when we work with that level, how that law of infinity is a law of no beginning and no end. But that law is spiraling, because within the matrix of infinity, as we'll look at the science level law, within that matrix of infinity, there's always newness. It's constantly restructuring itself. When something is constantly restructuring itself, it becomes a spiral. And that's where Mrs. Eddy says that we spiral higher and higher from a boundless basis. And so being is about a spiraling experience that never ends. Hence we have that experience in the galaxies of the universe expanding out into infinity, but the galaxies coming inward, huh? There's that wonderful binary float of expansion and contraction. Well, that is just those levels of absolute Christian science and Christian science of the Christ, it expands to you, and we come back to it. This will be a sense of infinity where it just goes, spirals higher and higher from a boundless basis. Where she says that, hence the eternal wonder. Well, that whole sense where she says, divine science, the word of God, saith to darkness upon the face of the deep. God is all in all. And the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with spiritual ideas, reflecting him in countless spiritual forms. And she says we go on to spiritual beings and exalted spheres in the spiraling state of consciousness. And no wonder the galaxies will open up to us.